This morning we are going to be in Luke chapter 18. It's a familiar passage. Maybe, it's one of those you know, maybe it's one you don't, but it's one of those things that sometimes when a passage just jumps out off the page, there's something that we need to realize. And that's what's happened to me over the last couple weeks as I'm going through these scriptures and this one especially. And so this morning I want us to look at these two men, because either fortunately or unfortunately, we are going to line up with one of the two. And so as we look at this, I pray that God will speak to each of us where we're at, which that's what he promises. But I also want us to hear what he's got to say. So as we read his word, as we discuss these things this morning, my prayer is that God would speak to us in spite of us. And that's my prayer as we go into his word this morning. So if you'd read along with me, I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Let's pray. Father, we pray that your word would come alive today. We know that's a promise, but Lord, I pray that you open our ears to hear what you want to say to us today. Lord, that we would not only hear it, but we would meditate on it, we would apply it to our lives. God, that we would be what you want us to be. Lord, help us not to waste another day, because we know you're coming. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a parable that some theologians believe that maybe something along this line happened as Jesus was there, and he's telling this parable that was something that maybe they had even actually seen. But either way, it was something that they understood. And so if we look at these two men, one being the Pharisee, that was the religious person, that was the teacher of the law, the reader of the scriptures, the educated in scripture that everyone looked up to. He's the religious guy. And then the other is a tax collector. A tax collector was one that actually was a Jewish person, but he would collect taxes for the Roman government. And therefore, he was not liked by his own people. He was looked down on as one of the lowlifes of the time, because whatever the amount of money that the Romans asked for a tax or demanded as a tax, this guy could ask for that plus anything over that. Anything over that, he got to keep. And so many of the tax collectors would actually do that. They would collect over and above what was demanded and then get to keep that. And the people knew that, and so that's one of the reasons that they did not like him or that profession. And so it was always put together, the tax collectors and the sinners, because that was a way that they could tie the two together. But this morning, I want us to look first at this Pharisee. He's the first one to speak. They were, obviously, as Jesus says here, he's talking to people who thought they were more than they really were. And I think that's my main thought for me this past week, past 2 weeks maybe, is do you think you're more than you really are? Because I think sometimes we do. We may not want to admit it. We may not want to, we may not ever say it out loud. But there are a lot of times in our lives that we think we're more than we really are. And Jesus is going to talk to this group of people here, and he's going to do it through this parable, which is just that story of trying to get his point across. And so this morning I pray that he does get his point across to us as well. Well, we look at this first one and this first Pharisee and the things that he says. First of all, it says that they went to the temple. He went to church. That was a normal thing that he did in his life. That was a normal thing that was a part of his ritual, was to go to the church. And maybe even he was one that was going to be reading the scripture that day. And and for whatever reason, but he was going to the temple. That was his habit. Now, if people didn't see the tax collector at the temple, they wouldn't think anything about it. But they would expect to see this Pharisee at the temple. It's one of those things that we begin to look at this Pharisee. And I'm not saying that we are all like this Pharisee. Don't get me wrong. But I think we need to understand some of the things this Pharisee does has a tendency to creep into our lives. Now, I'm not saying we're a terrible person. I'm not saying he's a terrible person. But what I want us to do this morning is to see the things that this man evidently thought. And I want you to ask yourself, do I ever think that? Or I want you to understand that there are people that you know that do think that. Maybe not about you, but about themselves. And so in understanding that, then that gives us the opportunity to minister to them. So if you find out what God is saying to you today through this, this man went to church. It was expected of him. When I pull out of my driveway this morning, my phone will buzz and tell me it's 5 minutes to church. Anybody else have that on their phone? When you get ready to go somewhere and you go there so often that your phone or your watch will buzz and say, you have 4 minutes till you get to work, or you have 4 minutes till you get to wherever, because you go there every day. You've got 4 minutes till you arrive at the school. Or when you leave, you got 4 minutes till you arrive home. Whatever it is for you. Our technology is smart enough to figure out where we are going if we go repetitively. This man repetitively went to church. We do that. You know, there are a lot of times that people are robbed more while we're at church than because people know. You go to church. That guy goes to church. He's not at his house. That happens. It's a sad thing, but it happens. But what I want us to understand this morning is this man went to church and it did him no good. It did him absolutely no good. And there are times when we go to... There have been times in my life when I've went to church and it has done me absolutely no good. Now, that's a terrible thing for the pastor to say. But it's a truthful thing for any of us to say. There have been times that we've came to church and we have came with the wrong attitude, the wrong mindset, not expecting. Something else is weighing on our minds. And so when we get there, we're not expecting to hear from God. We're not looking into the scripture. We're not listening to hear what God has to say. And when we leave it right there in the pew with us. It stays in the Sunday school class, right where we heard it. There are times when we come to church and it does us absolutely no good. And it's not my fault that you don't get something from God when you come to church. It's not your fault that I don't get something when I come to church. Because God promises if we come and we seek Him with all of our heart, He will be found by us. There can be somebody up here, me especially, bumbling behind this box, reading the scripture. But if you're listening for God, you will hear from God. This man went to church, and like I said, as we find out, it evidently done him no good. We need to come expecting to hear from God. It goes on to say that this man, after he had went to the temple, that he stood and prayed thus with himself. Does that seem strange to you? This man stood and prayed with himself. I'm not even sure how that works, but that's the terminology in the Greek, that he stood and he prayed with himself, meaning he wasn't including anyone else. And I'm not saying you include someone else when you pray, but his prayer was all about himself. That's what it's telling us in that passage. So here he is, and he comes, and he stands up in front of everybody. He stood and he prayed, and he prayed what when I was growing up, they would always say, he prayed one of those King James prayers. You've heard those? Oh Lord, thou God, you know what I'm talking about? And using King James terminology that when they spoke in a normal time, in a normal conversation, they did not use that type of language. But when they began to pray so that their prayer would sound more spiritual, they would use a Bible language to pray. He showed his religion to everyone around. He stood up in front of everybody and he prayed this big religious prayer. And it done him no good. There are so many times that we show our religion and it does absolutely no good. Religion, I can be religious about watching football. I can be religious about watching NASCAR. I can be religious about so many things. Religion does you no good. You can have your favorite church, you can be religious about going to that church and it do you absolutely no good. Because it's not about religion. It's not about showing people your religion. That's what he was doing. It's about a relationship with Jesus. This man goes on and after he stands and prays, surely we would never do this. God, I thank you that I'm not like these bad people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. God, I'm glad I don't do bad things. That's what he's saying. God, I know what's bad that's out there. I know the things I should not do. And I don't do those things. I don't do those bad things. There are people today that are good people. And what I mean by that is they don't do these bad things. They're not murderers. They're not thieves. They're not adulterers. They're not all of these things that the Bible's talking about here, that this Pharisee's talking about. They don't do bad things. But just because you don't do bad things, that's not going to get you to heaven. Going to church is not going to get you to heaven. Being religious is not going to get you to heaven. Not doing bad things is not going to be a ticket into heaven. So many times we can be proud that we don't do bad things. And that's a good thing. But we think if we get by not doing bad things, then we're going to get bonus points because we don't do bad things. That's not the way it works. He goes on to say, I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of all that I possess. So now, surely he's got it down. He's got it right. He's going to church. He's religious. He doesn't do bad things. And not only does he not do bad things, he does good things. He does the right things. Surely that's enough. Not according to this passage. Not according to the rest of the Bible. So many times we think if we do good things, that surely is better than just not doing bad things. So if I do good things, then surely that's my ticket to heaven. There are people out there that think that. There are people out there that truly think, if I'm a good person, that's the not doing bad things, and I do good things, then that will be all I need to get to heaven. I've talked to people before, and they say, well, I'm a good person. I do good things without being asked. But that's not what my Bible says gets you to heaven. So if we stop right there and we look at this man, you and I know people that try to follow this list to make it to heaven. And one of these days they're going to be sadly mistaken. Because going to church doesn't cut it. Being religious doesn't cut it. Knowing what's wrong, doing what's right doesn't cut it. This was the religious guy that everybody thought had a good setup in life. He was okay. He was good with God because of all of those things. And then we look at this other man. Because the two of them, it tells us, went to the temple. This man went to the temple as well. But his attitude going to the temple was a lot different. First guy's attitude was all about him. This guy, his attitude was not about him, at least not in that way. Says that he stood afar off. Man, he didn't even feel like he deserved to walk into the temple. And he came to the temple and he realized that he realized his hopelessness. He realized his condition. And he didn't even think he deserved to enter the presence of God at the temple. Because he was a tax collector. He was a sinner. And he saw that he did not deserve. We see that by him standing afar off. Goes on to say that he wouldn't even look up. Man, he felt so unworthy to even be in the presence of God. Not just in God's temple, but he knew that even if he's standing outside the temple, even if he's near the temple because he doesn't feel like he deserves to be there, he knew that he didn't even deserve to look up to God. This man's attitude coming to the temple was undeserving and unworthy. How long has it been? And nothing about this church or any other church, but how long has it been since you went to a worship service and felt unworthy to be there? Not because of who's there, not because of what's going on, but because the presence of God was going to be there, that you felt unworthy to even go to that place. And like I said, it has nothing to do with this building. It has nothing to do with the people in this building. But if you came here to worship God, How long has it been since you went to a place where you were planning on worshiping God and you realized you didn't deserve to be there? We don't have that attitude. This man did. He wouldn't even look up. Man, I picture sometimes when my kids were growing up, if they knew they were caught with their hand in the cookie jar type of a situation, it was like they wouldn't even look up because they knew mom was going to get them. I'm just going to blame mom right now. But they knew they weren't even going to look up because they knew they were caught. And then they figured out that they could look up and give that little puppy dog a smile and get out of it. That's what we think we can do. But we need to realize and not even to come with the attitude of understanding we don't even deserve to be in that place where I'm going for the intention to meet God and I don't deserve to be able to be in His presence. But we come in thinking we deserve it. We come in thinking, man, if he was to walk in, we could see him face to face. No, you can't. The Bible says nobody can look on God and live. Moses had to be hid in the cleft of a rock and God walked past and he could just see his back. But we just act like we deserve to be in his presence. This man wouldn't even look up. And surely that would be enough, standing afar off and not looking up. But he goes on to beat his chest. He's pounding on his chest. He's at a point of understanding truly how undeserving he is. He beat his chest because he understood where he stood before God. When we walk in the door of this church or any church, a Bible study, a Sunday school class, and we're going with the expectation of meeting God, do we realize where we stand before God? Many times we don't. And that's why we walk out of that place. Oh, our emotions might be a little bit different. Maybe even our attitude is a little bit different because we learned something. But when he stood afar off, he wouldn't look up and he beat his chest, his heart was hurting. He was broken before God. And he was just getting there. That was his attitude coming to the temple. It wasn't like he had heard a sermon that the Spirit convicted him and then he felt bad. Then he realized it. This is how he went to the temple. Undeserving, broken, not willing to look up. And then it says, he beat his breast, saying to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He knew coming in that he had to have mercy. He knew he didn't deserve it, but he knew that was his only hope. When we walk in that door or any door, do we come in with the attitude, with the understanding that if God doesn't show me mercy, I'm in trouble? It's about our attitude. Sometimes, many times, I think I'm closer to the Pharisee when I come to church because I feel like it's what we always do. It's our religion. It's a way to teach me not to do the bad and to do the good And that all happens. But if that's all I'm going for, that's all I'm going to get. We should come to the church. We should come to any place, whether it's our quiet time of a morning, whether it's a Bible study, a Sunday school, a church message, whatever it is. If you are planning on meeting God, then you need to understand where you stand before Him. Because too many times, we think we deserve it. And that's why we get nothing out of it. Look at this last part of this. Both men had talked in the parable. Jesus had shared how both men felt. And then in verse 14, Jesus says, "I tell you, this man," meaning the tax collector, the sinner, the one who didn't feel like he deserved to be there, who cried out for mercy, he says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." I think part of that reason, one, is because the scripture says so and Jesus says so, but the first man didn't come wanting to be justified. And justified is that Christian word to make it, our understanding is when I repent and ask God to forgive me, to become the Lord of my life, then I am justified. And justified is that thing that takes place at salvation to where I am just as if I had never sinned because Jesus took my sin. So you can kind of remember it that way. Justification, just as if. It takes place at salvation. Jesus takes away my sin because of his death on the cross. Which one of these two men went looking for that? The second one. The first one was just thanking God that I'm not all these other things. The second one knew where he stood before God. And Jesus says that he's the one that went home justified rather than the other. For us, as we look at this passage with these two men, we can see the difference in them, in the things that they did, in the things that they said, in their actions. But Jesus says that one went home justified and the other didn't. And what I think we need to understand sometimes is you get what you come for. The second one knew he was a sinner, knew he was in need of a Savior, knew he needed mercy, knew he didn't deserve it, and cried out for it. The first one, he didn't think he needed anything. Look at me. I'm not like him. I'm better than other people. I am not like that sinner. We compare ourselves to other people. He compared himself. I'm so glad I'm not like that tax collector. I thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. But you know what? What you expect coming in here, you don't want to compare it to somebody else. Because the one that you're going to be compared to is not the tax collector, the sinner, or even the Pharisee. It's going to be Jesus. He's the one we're going to be compared to. The first one, I think he got exactly what he came for. He didn't come to be justified. He came so that people would know he was religious, that he would pray out loud, and that he did good things and not bad things. And I'm sure a lot of people that were there at that temple saw that. So he got exactly what he came for. The second one, he came looking to be justified because he knew He was hopeless. And he got what he came for. So today I'm going to ask you, did you get what you came for? God says you'll always. Every church service, every Bible school, every VBS, every revival, everything you go to that is centered around the Bible, you are going to get what you came for. Because it's not up to the person reading the book. It's up to the person hearing the book. If you come in with the right attitude, you will leave with what you came for. And it will have nothing to do with me. It will have nothing to do with anybody else in here. Because God will meet you where you go. If you come expecting from Him, He will meet you. If you come expecting to hear good music, you will. If you come expecting something else, that's probably what you're going to get. Sometimes with those, you may be a little disappointed. But for the most part, you're going to get exactly what you came for. This man got what he came for, and he got what he needed. The first one came what he got what he came for, but left without what he's needed. Does that make sense? It comes down to the attitude of a repentant heart of the second man. He knew where he stood before God, and he beat his chest with a penitent attitude. Where are we? We're good religious people. And yeah, I'm not ashamed of it. I want people to know, not because I'm religious, because I want them to know my Jesus. This man was justified, basically, his salvation. Well, Pastor, I'm already a Christian. So my justification is already set. Yes. But how's your daily walk with God? Because repentance and salvation cannot be separated. Repentance and salvation cannot be separated. Understand that. We repent. And godly sorrow brings repentance. We talked about that last week. Godly sorrow brings repentance, and repentance leads to salvation. That's the scripture. We need to understand that those two can't be separated, but they don't stop. They just kind of flip. Repentance leads to salvation, and then our salvation, as we grow, as we're sanctified, then it flips. And our salvation should bring about repentance. In other words, I repent. I am broken because of my sin, like this man, and I am saved. And then because of the fact that I am saved, that should be proven by the way I choose to live my life through the Holy Spirit, and repentance is a part of my ongoing life. Because too many times Christians think, well, I repented when I was 21. I don't have to do it again. Repentance is a daily thing because sin is a daily thing. Next week, or wherever you go, the next time you go to meet God, whether it's at church tonight, whether it's at a Bible study this week, Wednesday, next Sunday, don't walk in the door of that house, of that church, of that location without thinking about this tax collector. Because ultimately, that's what's going to make the difference. is your heart going in will reflect to your heart going out. And too many times, we walk out the same as we walk in, like the Pharisee. But the choice is up to us. I talk to people all the time when they leave, and they say, "Pastor, that was a good message." That doesn't matter. What matters is, what are you going to do with what God said to you today? That's what it comes down to. What are you going to do with what God says to you today? And what He said to you is probably completely different to the person beside you. What are you going to do with what He wants to say to you today? Take it home with you. Think about it. Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. I would ask you to go back through that passage every single day this week and find out which one you line up with the most. And then when you go into that building next week or the next time, my prayer is that you go in looking for the right thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, sometimes it hurts. But we know You've promised us that it's alive, it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We cannot be around it. We cannot hear it. We cannot read it without it cutting. So, Lord, I pray it cuts deep. Because only when a cut is made can a cut heal. And there's times I need cut. Father, watch over us this week. Help us to have that penitent attitude for the sin that cost You Your Son. May we live our lives glorifying and honoring You. In Your name we pray. Amen.